Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Even if you're scared, and even if you don't know everything, just do it. Just go do it and don't stop, because you'll figure it out.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode, I want to mention Trevor McGregor. Trevor is a real estate results coach. I've been paying him and working with him for years now. He actually is responsible for giving me the idea to do a podcast. So it's not only about transactions that he gives advice on, how to find more deals, how to make more money, but also how to build a holistic plan around your real estate entrepreneurship endeavors. That's what I love about working with Trevor, that and being held accountable for what I say I'm going to do and actually making sure that I follow through and do it. I feel like I'm a pretty results-oriented, accountable kind of person, but it's always nice to have someone who's there guiding you along the way and giving you strategy as well as psychology tips for how to deal with, you know, the things that come up as a real estate entrepreneur. Trevor has made a wonderful offer for the best ever listeners, and that is that he's offering a free coaching session. Go to coachwithtrevor.com. That's coachwithtrevor.com. Highly recommend him. I've worked with him before. I'm currently working with him right now as my business, as my real estate investing coach. Highly recommend you do the same. Take him up on his offer. Get a free coaching session. coachwithtrevor.com. Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and this is a show where we cut out all that fluffy stuff. We get straight to the investing advice that moves your real estate business forward. Talk to Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, Jay Papasan, from the author of The One Thing with Gary Keller, Tom Wheelwright, who's Robert Kiyosaki's CPA. A fantastic interview. If you haven't checked that out, just Google Tom Wheelwright, Joe Fairless, and listen to some 1031 exchange info that will blow your mind. And today we've got with us an active wholesaler as well as a real estate entrepreneur. How you doing, Scott Bauer?
I'm doing real well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, nice to. I'm happy to ask you and glad to have you on the show. Scott's the owner of HBSB Holdings based in Phoenix, Arizona. Basically, he focuses on residential wholesaling and doing very well with it. Additionally, and this is a part of the story that's pretty interesting that he's going to get into, he started out, if you go to HBSB Holdings, it says a commercial acquisitions company. So that was his initial intent. And then came across some challenges and now has found the sweet spot with the wholesaling business. And looking forward to hearing the story behind that. He's a 27-year-old real estate entrepreneur, originally from Iowa, and he started his first entrepreneurial venture at the age of 17. With that being said, Scott, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Absolutely. So I'm 27 years old from the state of Iowa. When I was 16 years old, I got into a kind of a bad accident, which kind of changed my life. And, in a nutshell, had a brain injury, was in a coma for a little while. When I got out of that, you know, my whole life changed. I went on to graduate high school on time, started the detailing company that I was talking about with my first entrepreneurial venture. and really went on to, like I said, graduate high school on time, went on to college, got a couple of degrees in 4.5 years, just really crushed it. And after college in 2012, actually 2011, I moved here to Arizona, and I worked for in sales with just a logistics company for about a year, and hated that. So quit my job in September of 2013 and jumped into real estate, cold turkey. I had no idea about it, no clue. I had heard some things. Actually was dating a girl, and she said, hey, maybe you want to get your real estate license. So that's what I did. And I just dove in end of 2013 as a realtor, and all of really 2014 trying to figure out what being a realtor was like, and found out through doing 6 transactions only in 2014 that it was not what I wanted to do. And so I joined the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association, and that's really where things changed for me, because I realized that there's another way to do real estate, that it wasn't always putting people in the car and going to show them a bunch of houses and, you know, spending a lot of time, gas, you know, energy with these people that a lot of times wouldn't even buy anything, and just wasn't my cup of tea. So after joining the Arizona Real Estate Investors Association, I actually met my first coach, Dave Lindahl, who is a apartment investor. And that's where the apartments come in. You know, that was a turning point for me as well, because I'd never spent any money on coaching. And here I was going to put up $11,000 to have, you know, a coach teach me how to invest in apartments. So that's what I did. And that led me to meeting a series of people that got me to where I am now. And the first individual actually went through David Lindahl's program. He had acquired 350 units. And I'm not going to say who that is, just for, I guess, his purpose, but 350 units. And he's a great guy. I mean, I knew that he was a guy I needed to be connected with. So after I learned his success that he had with Dave Lindahl's program, I just blew his phone up, and he didn't answer it for the longest time. I mean, it probably took me 2 months before I finally convinced him that, hey, you know, I'm serious. I want to learn. I want to do what you do, what you've done. You know, let me buy you a cup of coffee. And so finally, you know, he agreed to go meet me for a cup of coffee, and we met, ended up talking for like 2.5 hours, just really hit the ball really, really well, got along real well. You know, he saw a lot of himself in me, and, you know, I was excited to be part of it. So after our first meeting, probably 3 weeks or a month went by, and he came up to me and said, hey, I have this other idea. And this other idea is single family wholesaling houses, because buying apartments is a great thing, but it takes time. And really, maybe you can acquire a couple of large apartment complexes a year. And so you're spending all of your time, you know, focused on one project or two projects, or maybe three. I mean, it really would depend, but the wholesaling single family houses is kind of an everyday grind. So you're always doing something, which, you know, it's true. It's a fantastic venture. So anyways, we organized a plan, and we organized a business plan on how we're going to get this wholesaling houses thing up and running. And we're just going to do it with direct mail. You know, listening to other podcasts, reading some books, figuring out how we can get in front of motivated people that want to sell. We came to, you know what, let's just send out a bunch of mail. So that's what we did. And basically he was the money guy. He paid for the marketing, he paid for the back end stuff, and I was the acquisitions guy for him. And so I would go on all the appointments and you know, lock up deals and find buyers, and that worked really well from January of 2015 until July of 2015, which was just this last year. And we just crushed it. I mean, it was a great team. He's a great guy. He introduced me to some really good people. And through that, I learned that by July, you know, this is something that I wanted to do on my own. I wanted to really have my own company, or build my own company, build my own brand, all of that stuff. So in July of this last year, I cut ties with him, and that was very hard. But something, when I look towards the future, I needed to do that. And so from July until today, I mean, I had a ton of success. In 2014, I only did 6 deals. 2015, I quadrupled my business and I did 25 deals. And, you know, this year I'm looking to do the same thing again, and everything is on track. I see no reason why I won't accomplish that goal. So it's been, it's been a road that I've learned a lot in and continue to learn every day. I think the secret is really, you just got to go for it. You just got to do it, even if you don't feel comfortable.
I have so many questions, and thank you for sharing your story. First would be, how much are you making on a per deal on average?
So my deal average, and really when I first started out, I didn't have a buyer's list. I didn't have anybody to sell these properties to. So I had no problem going and getting, you know, meeting with sellers and finding motivated sellers and getting a deal. I just didn't know where to sell it. So I might have to back up a little bit, because I actually invested in some other coaching at the beginning of this year with some other wholesalers who know how to wholesale very, very well. And so when I couldn't find a buyer for them, for these properties, I would have to split my profits with my coach, because they would bring the buyer. And so in reality, I mean, I'm making around $10,000 per deal. And that's an average amount at this point.
After factoring in the split cost?
No, if I'm splitting it, it's basically a 50-50. So I'd make $5,000 per deal. Okay. But now I have my buyer's list. So now all of my deals are actually, they're all $10,000 or more. And really, I'm just at the beginning of this year, I'm going to close the biggest deal that I've ever done, which is fantastic.
Yeah. What's that deal?
It's going to be $42,000. And it came, it's not even from marketing that I've sent so far this year. It's just follow up. It's just that when you send direct mail, people hold on to those letters, and maybe they're not ready to sell today, so they don't call you today, but they will call you in 3 months when they are ready, or they have a situation going on where they need to let that situation play out before they can have the opportunity to call you to be ready to sell. And this was what this deal was.
And how much did you invest in the wholesale coaching?
So I've spent $10,000 on the wholesale coaching. And actually I had a kind of a prior relationship with the coaches, and I think they cut me a bit of a deal on it, but it's, it was still 10 grand.
Plus splitting the, wholesale fees if they bring in a buyer.
Correct. Correct.
But if you bring in the buyer, then there's no cost other than that initial $10,000.
Correct. Yep.
And was that $10,000 up front?
It was up front. Yep.
What was your thought process before and after writing that check or sending it via PayPal?
So, you know, the process is that I truly believe that this game or any game that you get into or business you get into, there are people that have succeeded before you, and all you have to do is replicate what they do to become successful. So, you know, instead of trying to take this road on my own now at the beginning of this year, or really the middle of last year when I started my company full time, I wanted to make sure that I was going to be successful. And I know that if I connect myself and I surround myself with the same type of people that I want to become, that I will become that person to an extent. You know, I mean, and this is just kind of an analogy, but if you hang around 4 millionaires, you're probably going to be the 5th millionaire. And that's just kind of the mentality that I have, and it hasn't proven me wrong so far.
With the wholesale business being in full swing now, before you had a partner, and then now you're going on your own, how are you envisioning, if at all, the transition to apartment communities from wholesaling?
So really, it's about building my wholesaling team right now, and that's going to happen in 2016. That's going to happen this year, where I start to bring on other individuals into my organization that can, you know, do the day-to-day activities, go on appointments, you know, run comps, find more buyers, do all the components that I'm doing everything right now. I'm a one-man show. However, as I start to become larger and I get some money in my pocket and some things I can do, where I can hire other people to come in and do the things that I'm doing, that'll allow me to look in other places and diversify a bit, so to speak, into apartments. I mean, I've acquired a couple of small apartment buildings over my wholesaling time, because we've been wholesaling little, duplex, triplex, fourplexes, but the real thing that I want to get into is the large 100 to 150 unit apartment complexes.
You've acquired them through wholesaling, but then you've wholesaled them, right?
Yes. There was one that we closed in December 31st of last year, that we were going to hold. I had two other partners that I was kind of working with on the deal, and I was like, you know what? Let's just hold on to this property. Well, some issues came up with the financing, and financing that I thought I was going to have fell through, and it was a great deal on financing. It was going to be, just for all the listeners out there, 10% down and 5% interest with a 5-year balloon. So, and she's willing to renegotiate and do another 5-year balloon after that first 5 years is up. So, I mean, that's a fantastic financing deal for somebody else to come in and finance it for you.
And what happened?
She didn't feel comfortable with the property.
Who's she? The lender?
Yeah,
the private lender, I guess.
The private lender, exactly. And actually, this was a person that we bought one of her house. She got one of my mailers and on one of her properties, and we bought one of her houses to wholesale, and then just through conversation, we came to the fact that she likes to actually loan rather than own properties. So she was all about loaning. But it wasn't on that property in that area. Last minute, she just said, no, we don't feel comfortable with this. So
what was the total loan amount going to be?
So it was
going to
be $260,000 for a fourplex property, each unit bringing in around $800. And it would have cash flowed right off the bat. And that's really why we were going to hold it. And what ended up happening was, between the three of us, because remember, it was me and two other partners kind of dealing with this one property, we brought in another financial partner out of Chicago, but he wanted 50% of the deal. So then it would be him with 50%, and it would be 50% between the three of us. So what I did, I said, that's not worth it, really, for the headache it's going to have, or just the work I'm going to have to put into it. It's not going to be worth it. So I said, just cash me out. And that's what they did. We had the investor give us a fee for putting the deal together, and I took that money and I got out of the deal.
And what'd they do with it?
They're still holding on to it. The partner, the investor partner that we brought in from Chicago, and one of the partners that I was dealing with.
So how do you determine what your fee is for that?
I don't think there's a set rhyme or way to do it specifically on the fee. It's just gotta kind of make sense. You know, it can't be, if you're doing a $240,000 deal, you can't ask for 50 grand on your fee, because that just wouldn't make sense. So we actually only asked for $5,000 on the fee, and that was reasonable. The investor was willing to write that for putting the deal together, and that was kind of a learning experience for me. And so, I take that for what it is. And the next one that comes around, I'll know what to do.
With the investor who paid the fee out, that investor kept the property. I mean, did he find financing for it?
No. So then, he's financing it himself. Then that's the investor who's bringing it. He's from Chicago. And he's just got cash that he was wanting to put to work. And so he brought all the capital, and my other partner that I was in the deal with brought some repair capital, because a couple of the units need to be repaired. And so those two are the two that are still in the deal now, and they're stabilizing it, and they're going to put tenants in it, and they're going to hold it. For me at this point, I don't hold any properties other than the property I live in. And so it's, I'm really just focused on the wholesale side at this point.
When you were doing the wholesaling with your business partner, initially, the business partner was paying for the marketing. You were doing the acquisitions. You also had a wholesale coach at the time, it sounds like, correct?
Yep.
How when you closed on a property, were you getting 25% of the deal then? Because you and your marketing partner who's paying for that was doing 50-50. Then on the buy side, if you didn't have the buyer, then you get 25%?
No. So when I was initially with my the partner at the beginning of 2015, when we had started the wholesaling business, I had a coach, but he was not really active for me at that point, because that was still David Lindahl, who is the investment coach for apartments. So I still had him, but he wasn't very active as my coach at that point. And he wasn't finding buyers for me at that point. So I didn't have to split anything with him. The split just became between my partner at the beginning of 2015 and myself. And really what the split was, it didn't turn out to be a partnership at all. More or less, I was the acquisitions manager for his company. And so in a way, although I was not a employee, I did not have a W-2 or anything like that. That's kind of how it was. I mean, I wasn't a full partner. We didn't split the deals 50-50. The agreement that we had just was not favorable for me as the acquisitions guy at all.
Got it. And that's why you broke off.
Exactly.
How'd that conversation go?
It went not very good, I guess. It was pretty short and sweet. However, I told him over the phone, which, you know, if I could do it again, I wouldn't do it over the phone. I would have done it in person. And, you know, he was a bit surprised, because at that time we were really crushing it. We were really doing well and things were just getting better. And he was just looking to increase marketing, and he saw things really getting much larger than they were when we first started. And I saw that too. However, it was going to be much larger, but it would be his company. It wouldn't be my company. And that was my reason. That's why I needed to get out of his company. I needed to do this for me.
Was there any negotiation going back and forth after you mentioned that to him?
No, there really wasn't. And by that point, I was decided. I had made my decision and I wasn't going to change. I was going to stick to the decision that I made, that I was going to start my own business and I was going to do this on my own. And so even if he would have come back and said, hey, you know, I'll give you, you know, well, if he would have came back and said that he would make me a 50-50 partner with him and his business, and I would be a 50% owner in his business, then we would have probably gone a different route. I probably would have stayed, because I would have had equitable interest in the company at that point. But that wouldn't have happened. He wasn't willing to. I mean, we had previously kind of touched on that, and he wasn't willing to do that.
What's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep trying. Keep learning. Just don't stop, because there are things. Everything that comes at us in this world is trying to get you to stop. But the reality is, when you just push through it and you push harder, and when things look really, really hard and you really don't understand what you're doing and you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, you got to keep pushing, because when you do, you will succeed. I mean, as long as you keep the mindset that you are going to win, that no matter what happens, this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do this thing, whether it takes a couple of failed attempts or not, you're going to win. And so for anybody out there that's really trying to start something or get into something, even if you're scared and even if you don't know everything, just do it. Just go do it and don't stop, because you'll figure it out. And if you really have that drive and you really have the urge and the hunger, you're going to figure it out.
You got me sold. That's for sure. I have been taking notes as I do with all calls, but that last part, I mean, boy, just inspiring, especially knowing where, you know, your background. How long were you in a coma when you were 16?
10 days, actually. I raced dirt bikes growing up and just got into a bad accident on an off weekend, messing around with my friends, and put myself, well, I was in a medically induced coma for 10 days as my brain kind of reset itself. And after I woke up, had to relearn everything over again, in the sense of, you know, reading and writing and walking and talking and eating. And it's just kind of like literally my brain clicked the reset button, and it was a matter of resetting and rerouting my brain to relearn things.
You couldn't read or write or walk?
No, I couldn't. And it wasn't that I didn't know how. It was just that almost all the wires got disconnected. And it was the brain is an amazing organism because, or it's just an amazing part of your body because it knows how to reroute itself. Now, I'm extremely lucky for the type of injury that I had, that I have no repercussions, and that I have had this much success with my life, you know, health wise and recovery and all that stuff. But, you know, that was kind of one of those things as well. I was bound and determined that I was going to get better and I was going to be normal again. And so I wasn't going to stop until I was exactly that.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm so grateful that you're sharing your story. There's a lot of takeaways and lessons to be learned from this, and I'm glad that you are here to share them with us. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Let's do it.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016. Best ever book you've read?
Oh, Think and Grow Rich.
We might have just talked about this, but best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
The brain injury side, recovering from that, I learned how to overcome challenges and how to not let anything stop me from getting where I want to go.
Best ever deal you've done?
It's about to close, actually. Very, very simple. My mailers worked, and it's a matter of following up, and yeah, it's very, very simple.
Best ever way you'd like to give back?
You know, I want to do a podcast very similar to you so I can share my experience on the wholesale side. I haven't started doing it yet, but I guess if I had to be honest too, I give a lot of money to the homeless people I see on the side of the road, right or wrong. You know, I want to make them feel as, try to give them a little better life if I can.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate so far?
That one's tricky. You know, I really don't see anything as being a huge mistake. Because everything I've done thus far has been a learning experience and continues to be. So that's a hard one to, it's a tricky question.
What's been something, and I agree, I approach life and business the same way. It happens and I learn from it and I grow from that experience. But what's been a growth experience that you would have avoided, you will avoid in the future should that same circumstance present itself again?
I would negotiate. I would look when I signed the agreement with my former partner. I didn't look down the road to see what type of impact that was really going to have. I mean, I just kind of signed the documents and made the agreement and said, okay, let's go. And if I could do it over again, I would have studied the numbers and I would have played it out for the next 6 months, you know, and put a scenario in place where, you know, if I do this many deals, this is how much money I'm going to make, this is how much money he's going to make, is this worth my time? And that's the one thing I would do differently.
What's the best ever place the best ever listeners can reach you?
Send me an email at scott.bower, B-O-W-E-R, at hbsbholdings.com.
Scott, thanks so much for being on the show and sharing your advice with the best ever listeners and talking about your personal story where you were in a coma for 10 days at the age of 16 and had to relearn everything. Had to relearn the reading and writing and connecting the circuits back in your brain, and what you've accomplished up until this point has been phenomenal from, you know, being an active wholesaler to also setting the foundation for even larger opportunities in the apartment space. You spending $21,000 on coaching is certainly something that I think everybody will take notice of, because everybody's got their own opinion on if you should spend that much money on coaching and your rationale and why you do it. And I personally have a life coach as well, and a business coach through the Tony Robbins program. And why you do that, as you mentioned, is if you're in the room of five other people and they're all five millionaires, then you'll be the sixth millionaire. And you know, approaching it as though we are the product of the expectations of our peer group, something that Tony Robbins would say. Thank you so much again for being on the show and talking through the different examples of your profits on the properties that you're wholesaling, and then also your business structures. Really good stuff. I love how we got into the details there. Hope you have a best ever week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Take care.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016.